Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to our Sunday series. My name is Zozo and I'm your hostess with the mostest, no toastest. Today we have yet another, you guys know her, you've heard her, you know her, like OG, literally like yin yang, y'all. No further words are necessary. Emrata, would you like to reintroduce yourself?
Yes. Hey, guys. I know you guys knew me for a quick second as, you know, the co-host, but then I got kicked out. So I'm back. I'm back as a guest.
Can we talk about that?
Like, let's just say that I was kicked off through text message, but it's all good. And I'm here to add a little bit more nuance in these conversations, but as a recurring guest. But I'm really happy to be back. How are you?
We are so happy to have you. We, as in me, myself, and I. yeah, I'm doing good. It's like super humid today. I don't know about you guys, but it's like humid. It's like,
I wouldn't know because I didn't step foot outside. So it's all good.
Step foot outside. All right, 365 DNI. First of all, I had no idea that this movie was Polish. Did you? Like,
see, I'm the one who told you about, like, I was like, watch 365, right? So I had seen it in like an E News, like, you know what, night when they play like random stuff on E News or on
You have to be
channel.
The last, you have to be the last person, like, I know who on E! Watches E! News on actual E.
It's
that's
like
different.
It was like random, and I was watching, and they were doing like a thingy where it was like trash trailers, basically like trash trailers, movie trailers that come out like in recent times, and 365 was one of them, and they were making fun of it, and I'm like, wait a minute, this man is hot. So let's
wait. What was the trailer? How would they have a trailer? Why did they have one? Is it like
because 365 was. No. So 365 was like an actual movie that came out in Poland before Netflix like brought it on to their platform.
Like it was in theaters.
Yeah, like that had premiere and all that jazz. And they had, that's where they find like the red carpet, like the red carpet. What are they called? Interviews that you see from like months ago is from like the release, and so. It was, like, being talked about in, like, the circle of, like, movie watchers. I don't know. People who, like, diehard movie people. And they were complaining about how the trailer was, like, so bad and cringy. And I'm like, yeah, it's cringy, but, like, the guy is very hot. So let's see how that goes. And it happened to be on Netflix. I think it was, like, the first week it came out on Netflix is when I discovered it. And I was like, shoot, let's watch. And I was expecting, like trash Europe, like basically like dubbed 50 Shades.
Euro trash.
It turned out to be even better than 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, honestly, the writing was better, to be completely honest. Like it was so off, but at the same time, better than the like third grade level writing that 50 Shades had. And then the actors were just like so much more intense. Like I feel like 50 Shades was trying. Like, 365 was what 50 Shades thought it was, but in reality was not.
I just don't understand that. Like, I don't know at what point, like, 50 Shades thought it was, like, doing the thing with these, like, vanilla, like,
well, the
leads.
Thing is, how many years did it come out? Like, it's been years since 50 Shades came out, though. So I think in that era, it was, like, doing the damn thing. But even then, when we watched, like, the first 50 Shades, I'm sitting here like, what the hell is this? Like, it didn't even, it made no, like, it wasn't that crazy. It wasn't, like, risque that much.
No, legit, it wasn't. I remember, like, the last movie came out and we, like, bootlegged it on, like, Valentine's Day of, like, 2014 or something.
The movie was the dumbest one. It didn't have anything. It was just so dumb.
It had a weak-ass boat scene and it had nothing else. Like, it had nothing else going for it. It was just, like, what it was. It was so weird.
I will say both movies have good play, like, soundtracks. I think that's the way these movies, like, go about is because you kind of watch it for the music. Like, I remember the boat scene, not even the boat scene, but the music that was during the boat scene is what I remember. And even in 365, it's like, I remember Michael, whatever his name is.
Shout out to you, boo, love you.
I remember his music more than some of the scenes. And of course, Are You Lost, Baby Girl? And that's another thing. You know, they copied that. Well, not copied, but like, in 50 Shades Christian had like that stupid saying. What was it? No, he had like the cringiest saying. It was like, later's baby. Yes, it was later's baby. And he
How
would say,
do you remember
like,
this?
It was so bad. I remember it so well. And I was like, so like, Are You Lost Baby Girl is their version of later's baby. And it was still so cringy, but at the same time, it's being said by like this, stallion, this Italian stallion. So I'm like, okay, no issues.
No, but I'm going to disagree with the music because 50 Shades at least was done like movie production style. Okay, 365 was like the music was inserted in iMovie and they just said from start to end. They didn't bother to like even clip it a bit like from chorus. They said, play that whole track from start to end. We paid for those copyrights. We want the whole thing.
What copyright? They played Michelle's music for most of the...
Listened to his music though?
Yeah, I listened to like 3 or 4 of it. It's like not bad. It's just like
mediocre.
it's definitely like if it wasn't him singing it, it would be cringy. Like
yeah, but what makes can we not? I can't even say his name. Is it Mikel?
Mikel. I don't know what his name is. Is it Michael? It can't be Michael.
What is his last name? Mikel Moreno.
I think it's Morone. Yeah. So hot. No either
way. How come when we were in Italy, like it was low-key trash? Like there was no one not hot.
In Italy, we were in the wrong Italy. I don't know where we were, but none of these people look like him.
No, so. But he was born in northern Italy.
He was born in, are you kidding me? What part?
He was born in like a part, like a suburb of Milan.
Yo, we
yes,
got
he was.
We got, so we fumbled the bag in his own in his hometown.
We fumbled the bag. Everyone knows that we fumbled the bag. And that's just that. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, but what makes him so attractive in the movie is the thing. Like, you go first and then God. I'll give my little hot take.
I don't even know. I'm like trying to decipher because from the first moment, from the first moment we like see him, or like I think the my God, was it? Yeah, because at first he was like, actually, let's please talk about the boardroom scene in the beginning because that was when I was like, what is this movie? Like, what is happening? And then when we moved to the private plane, the jet, that was when I think his because I was like, damn, he took control. I mean, that was like very weird. Like the scene was weird and unnecessary.
But damn, he took control.
But I was like, okay, sir. Yes, like get it. And the his thing, what's attractive about him is that one, his height, like he's very like enlarged. He's 6'4" or whatever he is. It's like he's very, compared to the girls that are in the movie, he's very tall. So it just makes his entire personality like even more like overwhelming and just like, like I have control and I have the power. And his, like he doesn't even have like, he doesn't even speak like, well necessarily, but he says it with such confidence and such like, gravitas that you're just like yes
no that's
speak
the
to
thing.
Me Paolo speak to, sing to
sing
me.
For me Paolo that's the thing like everyone is so mad about it's like everyone's like no why would you want like blah 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 I don't even want to say anything wrong like gaslighting I don't know what that is but I'm just like speaking words but like why would you want this is not healthy this is like you were watching this movie and you guys are like romanticizing like Stockholm syndrome and all of this stuff and I'm like give me the Stockholm syndrome if it's like this like what
are you doing? I'm like are you joking feel free not like, to like not to it's like the thing is I just don't understand why people don't separate entertainment from reality it's like
yeah,
and no one is saying go get kidnapped like no one in the world is saying like kidnap me or like it's totally fine to get kidnapped la-di-da that's not what we're saying like I don't know it's like it's so dumb for me to explain it even but it's like who in the hell is saying that in this movie it's just that in some crazy like scenario in some out of reality scenario if the kidnapper is looking like him and he's treating you this well. He didn't even do much. Like, he put you in a castle. You didn't even remember getting, like, kidnapped. Like, you just kind of woke up. And then you're being treated like a queen. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm very confused. He's taking you on a shopping spree. He's, like, you have not done one thing. He's claiming that he's in love with you. Yes, there are some sketchy parts here and there. But I always say, first of all, this happens to everything. I apply this to everything. Is that any behavior is creepy unless you, any behavior from anyone can be, like, perceived as creepy unless you actually like the person that's doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, hitting you up in, like, DMs and stuff. It's creepy when you think they're ugly, like, or when you're not attractive. It's not creepy when it's like, oh, yes, like, come at me, you know?
No, legit. Like, I think everyone is very much overreacting. You're a hater and you don't believe that this is your life.
Yeah,
you're a hater. Like, please, XOXO, hating is a disease. Get well soon. It's not cute. Like, this man never did anything to any of you. He treats her so well. I don't care. Like, if you guys want, like, I'm a feminist. 100%. I'm a feminist. Disclaimer. But, like, I also believe in, like, patriarchal roles, like, 100% low-key. But I'm a feminist. Pay us the same amount of money. That's the one drop-off point.
It's like, I am, I like traditional roles.
Exactly. Like, is that bad? It's not bad. Like, especially when you look like homeboy, like, really bad.
And it's like charisma too. Like, he had that charisma, honestly. And what I don't like, I mean, even if he is him, like, even if I was Laura in the movie, like, the whole just choking you out of nowhere thing. No. I'm good on that one. I'm good on that one in general because I just don't like that. I just don't get it. But it's like,
the damn lies. Like, I don't know what you've done for.
But it's like, honestly,
I'm calling Cap.
If you're ever gonna get kidnapped, pray that you get kidnapped in that scenario. Like, that's all we're saying. It's like, if I would rather not be in a damn van with no, like, in a, what is it called? What are those vans
girl
called with no windows? I would rather be in a Sicilian compound of a castle with my little men that are stationed to be my, like, bodyguards taking me shopping. Like, that's what we're saying. Like, no one is saying Stockholm Syndrome is not a thing. Like, I'd rather have her cope in any way, shape, or form than, like, what would have I liked to see? Her screaming the whole 2 hours? Like, I'm very confused as to what people wanted to see.
I am confused that they're, like, stuck on that when the entire movie did nothing but open plots here and there. It was like a garden. It was like, I mean, yeah, planting plot, planting plot, planting plot. And we never saw, like, nothing ever closed. Not a single thing closed. Even the end of the movie didn't close itself. Like, the thing was just open all around.
How I explain this movie is a never-ending perfume commercial. It's just, like, nothing makes sense. It's all thrown around. It's gorgeous. That's what it is. Like, perfume commercials make no sense. But there's, like, beautiful people, there's water, there's just, like, a yacht somewhere, and it's like, whatever, you know, you never know what it's supposed to say, but it's cute to see. And this is exactly what this movie was
like. And I've been following Mikel, our boy, our homeboy, on socials ever since watching the movie, and I don't know what kind of vibes I'm getting from this man, but, like, homie is just, like, not, like, I don't understand him at all. Like, I feel like, so we went to Italy last summer. Okay, you guys, story time. Went to Italy last summer. There we were, living our best lives.
Lack somewhat.
Of a better word. somewhat best lives in the land of Lombardy. There we are, chilling, doing our thing, okay? And then we meet Milano, and this guy is basically trying to make it on social media, okay? Like, his whole brand, he will. We believe in him so much. His whole brand is, like, making it on social media as an Italian, completely speaking Italian the whole time. So, Michael Morone, what's his name? Michael who?
Morone? Yeah.
Michael Morone reminds me so heavily of this guy, Milano, right? So, I think there's, like, this thing in Italy with, like, the entertainment industry, especially if you're, like, male, that, like, you kind of just have to, like, squint at your phone and, like, like, look like, I don't know. And then that's like your path to being like, I don't know, bro. Cause like, he's a good singer. Yes. Can he actually act? We don't know if he can actually act. Yes.
Oh my God.
He never had to actually act. He was just like kind of talking with sunglasses on the whole time and like grabbing necks.
No, big facts. True. But, yeah. Like, this was not, again, I don't think, it's like the people in 50 Shades, like the movie was trash, but those were good actors. So I feel like it's going to be the same in this case as well. Like, they're very talented in their own right. What they were given was trash, and they made do with what they got. But I think Michelle is actually really, and I think what is very nice about him is that with all his like hotness, I mean, the guy is probably the most beautiful person on earth. Like, I've never seen
second that.
I've never seen a man like that beautiful in my life. And for all that, he's very down to earth. He's very authentic, it seems like. And he's just very like living, like, he's just like, oh my God, I'm here in this situation. And like, there's nothing fake about him. Although exactly, I don't understand what he's saying because I don't speak Italian. But he just, it's like Giorgico. Like, Giorgico is very much himself. Like, he really me be Milana. Doing whatever he be doing on Instagram, and it's just like nothing. There's no air of like, what is it? Like, there's no illusion about what he's doing. It's just like there.
Exactly. Okay, that's the thing that I think so many, like, I always come for Twitter because Twitter is like a hive for the birds. But like, I feel like in general, like, quote unquote, influencers here.
A hive for the birds, considering the actual Twitter bird itself.
No, but like, I'm just saying, like, the typical like archetype of like the guy that comes up, like, they start, it goes to their head, especially if they're like, I don't even want to bring in race or color to this, but like, it goes to their heads, and it's no longer like a cool thing. Like, it's just like, what? Like, you're so inauthentic, like, it's crazy. And then you kind of just like drop off and you're like, okay. But like, homeboy is just doing him. Like, he was probably doing this before as well. Like, and he has like whack friends.
He was like, he was singing and stuff. Like, his character is not built on the fact that he's attractive, and I think that's what it is about him. Like, his own personality shows, and it's not like the looks, you know, like, it's not like, oh, that's all he has to offer. Like, he has, he's like a family man. I don't think he himself puts his own worth in like his attractiveness. And I think that's what comes up. I think that's what comes across for me.
Yeah. And literally no one should. Like, I feel like he's been attractive his whole life, low-key.
Yeah, it's maybe, like, nothing new not. For him, you know? It's nothing. It's like, he didn't glow up.
And he's only 29, so, like, love to see it. We really do love to see it.
I'm, like, honestly, stepmommy. Like, if I'm ever going to be a stepmom for anyone, it's him. Let me just say it out loud.
In case you're listening to this. Yeah, talking about Twitter, be Simone.
Oh, good, my sis. God. Someone said she became real quiet when she's about to get sued. Oh my God.
So run us back what actually occurred, because you're the one that like hit me up like, hey, like, have you seen B Simone? I was like, who is B Simone? Like,
B Simone, first of all, I've never even seen anyone in Twitter general that has come up in my like head sphere or whatever in my like vision quicker than her, and then dropped from it as quick as she did as well. Like, people, she just came out of nowhere. I don't know why she first got into the radar. It was like, she sold something. Like, I don't know what she'd be selling on Twitter or Instagram, but she sold something and it hit like a million in profit, whether it be in that or in revenue. She hit something and it was like a million, and then she was like, woohoo, thank you, you know, my Twitter people, la-di-da. And then all of a sudden, like, she kind of just forgot where she came from and turned out to be one of those people who is like, turns around and like lectures you on how to be successful, when in reality, the success was kind of like because people supported you, and like nothing, it's not because you did some extraordinary thing. It's because like people came for you, supported you, and like made you who you are, you know?
Exactly.
Like, you weren't born with some insane thing that differentiated from anyone else. And so she forgot that and decided to be like, oh, let me be the next Gary Vee and start, like, yelling at people about how how to become successful and manifest and la-di-da. And then she was talking about, oh, then it all got, like, BLM started. Well, it didn't start, but, like, the whole protest, the protest became huge. And then people were, like, speaking out for it. And she decided to be, you know, self, like, sanctimonious all of a sudden. And she was like, I am, like, God's child. Like, I don't know. It made no sense. It was something about, like, how she was, like, the son of God and, like, a Jesus Christ follower and la-di-da. So she didn't need to, like, speak out against this. In some way, that's what people perceived is what she was saying. Like, she basically was like, I'm not even going to say anything. She's not going to denounce anything. And then, so she was already, that was one strike. That was maybe, like, 2 days after I realized who she was. Then the third day, she decided to, like, go on an interview with Nick Cannon and talk about how the only men in her life, the only man that she's going to date is, like, CEO and entrepreneur, which, again, CEO and entrepreneur are two different things, but she was saying it as if it was, like, one and the same. And then she went on and on, basically saying how a 9-to-5 is trash and how, like, a person with a 9-to-5 doesn't have the same mentality as her, la-di-da. And how she's up at 3 a.m. Doing, you know, her entrepreneurial things. And no one's going to understand that until they're, like, they themselves are a CEO or whatever. And so people started coming at her for that because just the way she said it made no sense because it was not articulate. Like, she didn't say her message in the way that she, I think, meant to say it. And so when it comes to Twitter and stuff like that, it really made... It's how you get perceived. It's not even what you say. It's how you say it is most important. And she then decided to just, like, kind of go back down. And instead of saying, like, okay, yeah, I fucked up on how I said it. I didn't mean to do it like this. She decided to just, like, double down and, like, go on defense mode. And so people hated her even more. And then it was found out that homegirl was frauding people at 3 a.m. That's why she was up at 3 a.m. It's because she was copying from Pinterest and putting it in a little pamphlet and selling manifestation books for like $35 for absolutely nothing. I mean, books that are worth $0, she was selling for 35, right? And that's how she, I guess, made her millions. And so people then started coming at her for that because at the end of the day, it's like you're defrauding the own, like, the community that brought you to what you are now. You know, it's not like mainstream tweens on Twitter or on Instagram that are buying her manifestation books. It's like the people who really want to see her come up are the ones buying it. And yet she's like straight up committing fraud. But I'm saying like it hit hard for the people who are supporting her because yeah, it was very disrespectful. And then she decided to, like, again, deny Thomas, my design company.
Like, I think that goes back to, like, intention and, like, desire. So, like, there's this tweet. We love Russ here. We yes. love Russ and this little duo. We really support him. Love him so much. but he, like, was on live yesterday maybe or something like that. And he was talking about, like, desire versus, like, wishing. And how if you wish for something that isn't really desiring it. So like just because you wish for something doesn't mean you'll like move towards it or like acquire it, et cetera, or like grow into it. Right. And so like with B. Simone, it's like whenever you're putting out, not even content, but whenever you're putting out like something that's coming from you in order to like help other people or benefit other people, if it's coming from an ugly place, it'll show itself as ugly when it comes out. So like, for her to want to like create this guide that could actually have been a really incredible resource had she pumped in the actual time and not tried to sell and make a quick buck. Like money is just like energy. Like if you're making money, it's because you're providing value to people a la Amazon, a la Microsoft, a la literally anything. Like if you're making money, it's because you're providing value and people are giving you value in exchange for that. And it's just accumulating and accumulating. But like, if you end up at that point of like, I'm putting this out just to make money, it's not quality. The people that end up with that in their hands or like even like come into like the sphere of it, they can sense it on such an unconscious level. That thing will not thrive. Like it won't succeed because your yeah. intention is so off. Like
it didn't even need to be
Miss B. Simone.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, there are ways to cut corners. Like, cutting corners is not even the issue. I mean, that's one thing. What she did was, like, flat out, like, paper. Like, it was like straight up parchment paper attached in a book form, like just like, you know, when you're like making fake books for like a workshop, like at school, and you're just like stapling papers together and it makes a book. That's what she did, basically. And then it's like, baby girl, like if you had put maybe 10 days of effort into it, like you would not have done whatever had happened now. And then it's like, even if you try to pretend that you had put effort into it, that's fine. That's one thing. Because not anything in the world is like purely new, right? Like there's nothing in the world that hasn't been created already, kind of. Like people evolve from whatever has already existed. So there's no such thing as like, this is the first thing that's like, I've done something that's never been done ever again, like ever in life. Her using other people's stuff, that's like, okay, whatever. But then it's like, you didn't even attempt to like make it decent looking so that people wouldn't catch on. Like, she just did not care. Like, the disrespect is what gets people. It's like, why would you have the audacity to do this if you're even trying to have like a longevity in whatever you're trying to do, right? Like, it makes sense to like cheat people if you're just cheating once and then like running away with your money. But no, homegirl then had the audacity to say, we're restocking. It will be sold out, with all the confidence in the world.
But it's getting like caught up because it's not coming from a good place. And it's like, that's really sad, because the people that like brought you there and the energies that like brought you to that position to even be able to like have such a huge platform,
were pure. Like,
those were pure. And then you took them and you like manipulated them. Hopefully she like learns from this and gets back to like whatever core she had. What does she do? I don't know. She's basically, okay, do you know what The Wing is? It's like that all women's co-working space. Shout out to The Wing, miss you lots. But like, she's starting one in like Atlanta, like an all women's co-working space. And I was like, that's really great. That's awesome. But like, I hope she doesn't like cut corners with that too. Like, start charging insane amounts for like,
I mean, she definitely will at some point.
Like, read the room. The socioeconomic makeup of like Atlanta is not like, like, she's, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, homegirl's gonna need money now, because if people are actually gonna sue her, like, that's crazy. That's real crazy to me. Oh, God, I feel for her, and I don't want people to, like, and that's actually another thing I don't like about Twitter, TikTok, about Twitter, is that there's, like, mob mentality to an extent, where, like, it's whatever the energy for that day is what kind of happens. It's like, people are supporting you, they're supporting you, and then the next day it's like out for vengeance and they will like destroy you. And then it's like, there's no character development. Like, character development is not allowed on Twitter. It's like, it's only allowed if you have no followers and no one knows you. But you're just like, one day you're here and the other day you're in the ditch, you know? And it's unfortunate that people fall into, it's very like dichotomous. It's just good, bad, yes, no. And people, no one is like that. Like, humans are not like that. We all make mistakes. We all have issues. We all have our like shortcomings, and Twitter police.
We're not fully American. Like, I don't think, like, I would call myself American first before I call myself like where I'm from. So like, I'm from Zimbabwe. Homegirl here is from
Ethiopia.
Yeah. And so like, I didn't understand the whole concept of systematic racism until I read this book by Sue Monk Kidd, and it was like all about the South and like, what's her name, that woman, the suffrage woman, Grimke, Sarah Grimke. Okay. And they were like all about the abolition of slavery. They were like on tour basically in the 1800s, like, y'all need to cut this out, like, we're from the South, we've seen this, you guys need to stop. And like, it was just so eye-opening, because it gave not only her a personality, a voice, a life, everything, it gave like, it was a story in like tandem. So it was like her story, and then it was a story of like Hetty, which is like her slave that she was given when she was 11, and they both evolve very differently.
Imagine getting as a gift.
No, it's literally, it was heartbreaking. And you watch both of these girls grow up, same ages, like growing up completely differently. But in their minds, it's sort of like the same kind of like desires and like things they want. And they want this and they want to do that. And like, one is suffocated and one can do anything they want. And it was like really eye-opening. Like, this girl, Hetty, like the slave girl, I don't even want to call her that. I'll just call her Hetty. Like, she literally could have been so, so much. And then these people come out of slavery and they're put, and they don't want like these people here. They don't want them here at all. They're like, okay, we made Liberia like a free state. Go ahead and go home. And they're like, no, half of America's like, no, you're staying. Like, what do you mean you're American? And half of America's like, oh, okay, whatever. They can stay. That's fine. And that same attitude has been perpetuating for hundreds of years. And it's so sad. And like, what the fuck? Systematic. Like, what is going on? Like, you guys didn't want to see me brought us here.
Yeah, systematic in the middle.
I just don't understand. But then you look at like Zim, and like obviously there's like colonization, is that a thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like colonization and all of that. But like Zims were like, no, we want our country back. They ran out the British and like started their own system of corruption. But at least that one isn't based in racial inequality. It's based on like other evils that are so horrible and terrible and like permeate every country in Africa as well as outside and all of that. But like here, it's different because we should all be the same, but we're not. Like there's no equal access to like, it's not a level playing field for a lot of people. Like there's like a chunk
beyond that has- it's beyond being a level playing field. It's like, insane. Oh my god, it's insane. Remember, okay, like let's just think about how what was that movie with like the crazy rich Asians? Remember like the backstory in that movie, how it was like the Chinese, like there were like a couple of families in China that moved to Singapore before Singapore, like before when Singapore was like a forest still, like it was mm-hmm. like rainforest, mm-hmm. and they took over the land, and so they were the original landowners, like they were the landlords, and so they controlled everything. And even now, how many years later, the hundreds of whatever, how many years, I don't know how Singapore worked, but it was like generations and generations just went down, and still it was that original 10 people or whatever that settled it that have control now, even, right? And it's literally same thing here. And that's how they became the crazy rich Asians, is because they just kind of took first grab and they were like, okay, well, it's ours. Which is,
I literally love that analogy. That's basically it. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beyond me. And now it's like same thing in America, where it was like a tiny group of people who is, the irony of it all is that the English settlers in America were settlers because they felt, I mean, the reason America, present day America, was a thing is because they felt they were persecuted, not necessarily persecuted, but like abused by the English monarchy. And they were like, we need to get away from them, right? So can you imagine how these people went through an American Revolution to get away from the English monarchy, to be separate, and then for them to be doing the same thing again? Like, that's what really kills me the most. It's like, people really are this, it's just, they don't learn.
Maybe that'll be like the work of humanity, low-key, like forever until the end, because like, listen, it's been happening from the jump to the cut to the left, right side. And I think what sucks about
this country's racism, I mean, or just racism in general, when it happens to be like white and black, because in our case it really is white and black, it's so easy to differentiate people. That's what makes it hard. Like, that's what makes it hard to get rid of, like, systematic racism or like institutionalized racism, because it's so easy to differentiate people. Like, you don't even need to be racist technically to know that one person is not white and the other person is black, right? Or like, mm-hmm. like it, within the same like homogenous societies, yeah, you can divide between socioeconomic, like there's classist divides, there's socioeconomic divides or whatever, all that. But it's harder to pinpoint people into categories because at least they all look the same. Like Ethiopians, we pretty much, I mean, most of us in the, well, there's two main regions, two main like ethnic groups of people. One are the Cushitic, which are like the ones who look like Southern Africans. So there's like Southern Ethiopia looks different than me. So they look darker, they look whatever. Like, they look more African. You know what I'm saying? Like, they look more typical.
They look like Bantu people. Like, okay, anyone who doesn't know, don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, because, like, ignorance is not a bad thing. Here I am putting you on game. Mm-hmm. So, like, Northern Africans sort of look like Middle Easternish, and then, like, the majority, not general, this is, these are generalizations. The majority of like Southern Africans are low-key darker. They look like what people put on posters, I guess, quote unquote. Shouldn't say that, but you know the fact. You know the game.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like the typical African look is like Western Africa, Central Africa, and Southern Africa. Southern Africa looks a bit different. But typically,
we do Southern African princess here.
Yeah, they really do look different. But like Semitic languages, so that's like a group. It's us, so it's Amharic, Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic. All of those are in the same group, and so we're in the same types of people, and so we look way different than other parts of Africa. So it's easy to differentiate, and it's easy to there's privilege associated with like certain types of looks, and it's always easier to distinguish people and thus create divide when there's like distinguishable things. That's why like Eastern or Southern Indian people are darker than Northern Indian people. And so there's a clear divide and there's clear like racism in India because people literally look like white and black.
All right, you guys. At some point you kind of have to like compartmentalize and be like, okay, maybe this is like not for me.
I'll say that this one thing that I've noticed I do a lot and a lot of people do, I think, is that we always... And the thing is, we know better, which is hilarious, is that whenever I meet someone new and like I'm like whatever, like I'm vibing you out, for some reason it's as if no other person exists. Like like our interactions become like just like it for me. It's like, oh, you know what, there's no other people that are there, like there's no one that can be better. All of a sudden it's just you. And I think that's how people get into like trash relationships or like toxic places, because you just close in, you hone in, and then you say, can't be better than this. I wasted 2 months into it. Like, no, no, it can, baby girl. No, it can. It literally will be better the next day. Like, it does not matter. There's 7 billion people on this earth.
That's so good, because like, bruh, is it like biological? Like, we're like, okay, cool, gotta like procreate, so this looks promising.
It might be like, I don't know what it is. It's just like you just hone in for whatever fucking reason, and they don't. It's funny, and I think it's just like girls who do it too, because I think men have this like skill that I need to have at this point, is that they just be putting people in like little categories. They are very good at like compartmentalizing, I guess. And so they're just like, whatever happens, happens, go with the flow, la-di-da. And we're just like, oh, someone talked to me. Oh my God, yay. That's...
Literally, God bless.
It's just very concerning how this is actually true. And it's like, we're smart too. That's the funniest part. It's like, imagine if we do this, how are other people doing this? Like, it's very easy to get trapped in a cycle where you just don't think anything can get better. Once it like goes downhill, you're just like, okay, well, I can't get out of it now. Or like, damn, it's been three. Oh my God, it's been 4 months. It's been 6 months. Are you fucking kidding me?
Four years. Like, people be out here.
No, it's like, you can waste 10 years. I don't care. 10 years is still very small compared to your entire life.
No, facts. I'm raw till with a word, you guys. This is literally like the other half of me. Like, I'm preaching, and y'all better listen, because I think a lot of people need to hear this, myself included. Like, don't. Like, it can get better. Like, what is it, a limiting belief? How do you get over those? Like, what is that?
It's like, you can, I think you just have to be very conscious of the fact that that is what you're thinking. Because I think it's like, you catastrophize in your head. You're like, okay, well, it can't get any better. Because how do I keep on getting in the same situations? Like, this is meant to be at this point. And it's not. It really isn't. And I think you keep on getting in the same places until you figure that out and you get out. Like, I think God puts you in the same situation until you learn what you need to learn and get the hell out.
No, big facts. Okay, you guys, that is all I have for you, all we have for you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you for having me.